Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 4th, 2021, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 96. We're on the third paragraph, the last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Joanne L. reading the 12 Steps, Debbie P. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Dion R., Robin P., and Julie E. B. Today's newcomer greeter is Diane B., and making announcements will be Shelley E. And thank you to Leslie W. for recording us this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning. Yesterday, Wednesday, November 3rd at 10 a.m.'s meeting, the reference number is 18,027 or 18027. And the reference ID for Thursday, November 4th at 7 a.m., that's this morning, is 18,030 or 18,030. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service, and good morning, world, because we are the world on this line. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, We try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And I'd like to ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. My name is Debbie P. I am from Indiana, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public communication media. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thanks very much, WP. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be muted except the speakers. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on 96, the third paragraph down. And I will ask Dion R. to get us started. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Elaine, and everyone else on the line. Hi, my name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So grateful. He may be broke and homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. But you should not deprive your family or creditors of money they should have. Perhaps you will want to take the man into your home for a few days. But be sure to use discretion. Be certain he will be welcomed by your family and that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connections, or shelter. Permit that, and you will only harm him. You will be making it possible for him to be insincere. You may be aiding in his destruction, or rather than his recovery. Warning, warning, warning. Just warnings, warning lights. Let's see. That last part of that paragraph is being warning. But also I love the promises and how the instructions I can help a homeless person, a compulsive overeater that may be broke or homeless, or because when I came in the program, I looked like I had everything going on, but believe me, all the debt I was in from food, I had the job, had the car, had the place, but barely making it because everything was, to me, was just food related. So I can get it, and I have worked with others have been broke and homeless. Give them a little financial. So I was going to say a little financial assistance, but I had to be careful. My codependent, my other disease didn't jump in where I'm going to fix and rescue and pull out that Dion cape. And here I come to the rescue and crash, you know, because I, like it says, that last sentence, I'll be aiding in the person's destruction and rather than their recovery. So I had to learn, take some hard knocks and learn how to lovingly and gently say no, or even set a time limit when I did allow another person in distress from the disease to live with me. And I had to give her a time limit and date, and, you know, you can stay this long, and had to stick with it. That was hard, but I did it because I wanted to, I didn't want to aid in that person's destruction, nor mine. Because if I'm aiding anything in anybody's destruction, I'm aiding in my own destruction. But if I'm offering them recovery, giving them a balanced guidance, you know, as a guide or a sponsor, I think that's more healthier than me trying to get some A's on my chest or my back. I did this, I'm doing this, and I'm not. I just pass on what was freely given to me, and this reminds me. The second part of step 12, he gives me clear-cut directions of what I can do, some things that may pop up, but I needed to hear that about that warning because enabling can be destructive for me as well. And I'll be back in the food. I'll default, as many of you say, default right back to the food. And then we ain't until, and to me, that's death. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the solution today. And I look forward to hearing from you all.
Thank you very much, Dion R., for getting us started today. So I am now open for names of people who would like to share, and if you could do it as closely to one at a time, that's great. Who would like to share today?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Roz G.
Who else? Anybody want to share? Okay, well, I suspect we will become inspired by those who are willing to share. So let's start with Kathleen. Oh, please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service this morning. Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. And, you know, truthfully, I don't have a lot of experience with having people in my home or lending them money. But I think this paragraph is about balance. You know, we help the person suffering, but not at the expense of our family. Those words, you should not deprive your family. I'm going to kind of focus on those. So I learned in step 12 that helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. You know, we're told nothing so much ensures immunity from eating as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. So there's nothing better than giving someone who is hopeless hope. But what constitutes intensive? You know, I want to help people get through the steps in a very short time, but how do I balance that with my family and friends? And something I had to learn was not depriving my family of my time. There was a time when I was spending so much time on the phone that I was depriving my family of my time and attention. And my husband at the time, at one point, he told me he was tired of hearing me talk program and he didn't want to hear it anymore. So, you know, my passion wasn't his passion, and I had to respect that. I've heard people say that their spouses encourage their spouse in recovery and they tell them to go make a phone call. But that wasn't my experience. So,
come to Yummy Vibe, the hottest place to meet local urban singles in your area. Connect now with the hottest singles that are looking for companionship, love, and good times.
That's okay. So when people come to me who are desperate and hopeless, you know, I always do my best to give them hope. And the 12th step is about carrying the message. And there's many ways we can carry the message. You know, we can sponsor and take someone through the steps is one way. But there are other ways to carry the message to those suffering, too. And, you know, sharing on this meeting and reaching out to newcomers is one of many ways of carrying the message. And if someone is truly ready and willing, working with them, it benefits not only the person suffering, but it also benefits me, it benefits the person in recovery. So recovery is a lifelong journey, truly of work and dedication. And we can live a better life and help others live an abstinent life, but it really is one day at a time. And like this paragraph states, not at the expense of our family. So I love this paragraph is that it's a great example. You know, we receive excellent guidance about what to do and what not to do.
And Yummy Vibe, the hottest place to meet local urban singles in your area. To connect with singles in your area, call 212-901-3300. That's 212.
I'm sorry. Let me see what I can do. Okay. Do you want to just finish up?
I think I've run out of time. But
you deserve a few seconds if you want it.
Okay. Well, basically, this is about changing our life, you know, how we think, feel, and behave. And some people are ready and some aren't. And I find the people, you know, some people want to be enabled in their disease, which I think is the whole point of this paragraph of, you know, letting people take advantage. And I guess it's like I want to be helpful if someone wants help, but if they're not ready, we do get direction on help on how to help in this chapter. So just to finish up, in recovery, we can't underestimate the power of this disease. It sneaks up on us, and for this reason, having the support of each other is crucial in recovery, and having a network of people in the program to help is important. And for me, it's like, you know, life, it's the promise. Life does take on new meaning when we watch others' recovery. So we offer each other hope. You know, there's a way out of what feels like hell when we're faced down in our addiction. And hopefully, you know, we're all here to help each other. And I pass. Thanks, Kathy. That was fun.
Thank you, Kathleen, for riding the waves.
Thank you.
Ross G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz and G, and I am a recovered compulsive eater in Palmdale, California, on my way to work. And I just, you know, just to say for me that sponsoring is not an easy thing to do. It's a lot of work, but it is necessary for me to remain recovered. In order to remain recovered, I need to sponsor. I become fearful when I'm not currently sponsoring someone. If I'm not currently running through the steps with somebody, or I don't mean running, but you know what I mean, going through the steps with somebody, it makes me a little nervous. However, over the years, I have come up with a really good sponsoring time, because I've heard in the shares this morning on all the meetings that sometimes we get too much. It's too much. And I, too, my kids were tired. Every time I'd be walking around the house with headphones, earbuds, my focus would not be on one thing. It would be on, you know, the phone, a meeting, or sponsoring. And it was too much. And so I had to learn how to balance things out, because I'm not Superwoman. One of my sponsors says, take off the cape, Roz. You're not Supermom. You're not Superperson. Take off the cape. So I can't enable sponsees by wanting to meet with them at the most convenient time for them. I need to meet at the most convenient time for me. That may sound selfish, but I do my sponsoring very, very early in the morning. It's quiet. I don't have any distractions, and neither does the other person from my experience. And we can have a genuine heart-to-heart talk. And if the person, you know, doesn't like that time of day, they can find a sponsor at a better time. And, you know, it, I had to learn not to people please, because, you know, I want everybody to like me. I want to be popular. I want to be well known. Well, that's just ego. And I'm in a phase in my recovery now where I want to have humility as the forefront, not my ego, not who I am, not what I say, just that I'm a simple member of this program that needs this, these steps and to work with others and to be sponsored every day. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz, for your share. Okay, I'm going to ask again for people who would like to share on this paragraph. It's the third paragraph down on page 96. Who would like to share?
Diane B.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H.
Sandy Diane K. B.
Sandy K. And who is behind Sandy?
Diana H.
Diana H. Okay.
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with that. Now, I think, Diane, the first one who gave me your name, I didn't get your last initial. Who is that?
Good morning. This is Diane B., as in book.
Right, okay, Diane. Thank you so much. Do you want to go ahead and share?
Sure, thank you. So I'm Diane B. from New Rochelle, New York, gratefully recovered. Good morning, everyone. I also have not taken anyone in who was homeless. I have not loaned money to anyone. But if I'm practicing these affairs, all of these affairs, no, if I'm practicing these principles in all of my affairs, then I have to be alert to what's going on around me. And one time I had a sponsee who was young, and she didn't know how to read labels in the grocery store. So I asked her to make her her grocery list, and I took her to the store, and I showed her how she could read the labels so that she could then do that for herself when she would go. And I did it when my children were in school during the day, so it wasn't hurting anyone in my household. I also have a friend who lives alone, and she does not have air conditioning, and one summer we had this really bad heat wave, and so she came and stayed with me for like 3 or 4 days to, because I have air conditioning. And then another time, the same woman had surgery, and she lives alone, so she came here for about a week after her surgery, and she stayed with me. I was able to do this because my children at that point were grown and out of the house, so I had extra bedrooms. But I have to say that she did overstay her welcome. We had made an agreement as to how long she would stay after her surgery, and then she kept delaying it and postponing it. And finally I said, I can't have you stay here anymore, because it was right before Thanksgiving and my kids were coming home. So I was like, I don't have the space for you anymore. But again, like I said, if I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs, then I have to be open to what's happening around me. And if someone is in need and I am able to help them, then I'm very happy to do that for them. But all within the boundaries of this program. And this program has taught me how to give of myself and how to be more thoughtful and more compassionate for other people. So I hope this helps someone, and if not, help me. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Jennifer H. Please share with us. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, this is Jennifer H. in North Alabama, and I'm really grateful to you guys for being there. And the only thing that came to mind on this, you know, I was thinking about you know, the not imposing or not letting it take away from your family. And I remember how my first sponsor, you know, said after I'd worked the steps and everything, it's really interesting to see how God is using you. And so it was kind of a new way of looking at things for me. So I wasn't sure what to think about that. But now I know that, boy, get ready, because it's amazing now that, you know, I'm recovered and entirely abstinent and everything, how much more I can do than I was ever able to do before. You know, we won't tire so easily because we won't be burning up energy, you know, trying to arrange things to suit ourselves and all those things that promises that happen where I cannot believe all the things that I'm able to do. But there are a lot of things that, you know, that God's using me for, you know, as a mom and a divorced mom and trying to take care of a house and having a, you know, three different jobs. And these are things that he's got me doing because I need to be doing them. That's where he wants me to be, helping people and stuff. And I talk all day long in my job. So I remember one time I had an OA sponsee, and we would meet. It was about once a week. And, of course, we talked and read the whole time. And after about 30 minutes, I just couldn't talk anymore. My throat was hurting. So about the maximum I could do was about 30 minutes once a week, which that's about how it was with my OA sponsor. You know, she was also working full-time and doing a graduate degree. And we just did what we were able to without killing ourselves, which was, you know, once a week for 30 minutes to an hour. And but this sponsee said, I really need to be able to go through these faster. And I said, that's great. I'm glad you can, you know, see what you need and take care of that. And I really hope that you find somebody who, you know, works out real well, you know, so keep looking. So I was really happy to, and that was a real miracle that I didn't have to feel bad or take it personally or, you know, anything like that, or change myself to suit somebody else necessarily. I mean, of course, I talked to my sponsor about it and prayed and everything. But just that idea that there's, you know, there's let God sort things out or whatever. I don't have to get in there and try to force my will on those kind of things and just kind of keep on trucking. So I'm grateful to you guys. And with that, I'll pass.
Hey, Kathy, you sound really faint. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Is that better?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything you can do to clear the line, Leslie? It's, we've had some interruptions this morning.
I know. I'm working on it, doing my best over here.
Thank you.
Keep coming back on. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sandy Kay, please share with us.
Thank you for your service and thank everybody for their patience. I'm Sandy Kay, a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I have a lot of different perspective on this paragraph. When I was newly recovered, there was a woman who was working her program, and I don't remember why, but she one day had no place to live, and she didn't have a lot of money. And my son wasn't home, so I invited her to stay in my house for a defined period of time. And before I did that, I remembered, because I normally would never have done that. But, you know, Bill and the early members of AA, they went to any length, and they had people come in their home. And I said, you know what? I want that kind of recovery. So I did that. As a matter of fact, years later, I did it with somebody else. It wasn't completely selfless because she paid me a minimal amount of money to stay in my house, but it was a lot less than it would have been if she rented a place herself. And then on the other perspective, there were years, and it seemed like years, it could have been one, I don't know, in programs where I was working the program, I was in recovery, but I was desperate for money. I had to think every month which utility could I pay late so that wouldn't be turned off. And I ended up asking a friend or two at different times if I can borrow money. And they very graciously said yes, and I made sure that I paid them back in a responsible period of time. I never had anyone come in my house when any members of my family were there. So it never invaded our privacy. But regarding enabling, there is somebody who used to go to the meeting I went to, and he was always tight for money. And one day he couldn't even get to work, and he called me up and he asked me for money, and I said, okay. And then months and months, and maybe a year later, he called me again. I said, no, I'm sorry. You're going to have to work this out. I'm not in a position to give it to you. I didn't want to enable him. But I think other people did, because I saw him recently, and he certainly had gained a lot of weight. So I can only do what I can do. I'm not responsible for anybody else. But opening up my home and my heart without worry about being taken, or hurt in any shape, you know, way or form, I'm happy to do that, because I think of the early members of our program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. Diana H., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. I'm Diana H. in Texas, compulsive eater, and grateful to be here today. Yeah, this is an interesting paragraph, and what stood out to me, well, a couple of things. One is to be certain that, be certain that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connections, or shelter. And for me, I'm thinking, how am I going to be certain of somebody else's motives? I don't really know. I mean, I can discern a little bit by their actions, but compulsive eaters, just like alcoholics or any kind of addict, can be liars, can be deceiving, can be thieves, can be manipulating. And I know, because I've done all those things myself, you know, so I'm not always certain of somebody's motives. And for me, I would rather make the mistake of helping someone who doesn't have maybe the purest motives, rather than not helping someone who is sincere and really needs help and really wants help. You know, I'd rather help somebody unless they've given me a reason to not trust them or to know that they're just looking for a handout, you know, and not really wanting to work the program or work the steps or change. And for me, helping them would be like calling them, giving them a ride to a meeting or a ride to the grocery store, or just giving my time, my love, my support. And there have been a few times, you know, maybe I've given them a hot meal, a warm shower, a soft bed, you know, some place to stay for a day or two. And that hasn't happened that often, but there have been a few times. And then, so I just would rather help someone than not, if I'm not sure of what their motives are. And also it says be sure you can use discretion. So I looked up the word discretion, and I wasn't listening earlier, so I don't know if anybody else did this, but discretion is the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. So that I have some freedom to decide what to do, and depending on, you know, what my needs are too, for me and my household, you know, if helping somebody else is interfering with my own serenity or my own program, then I need to really, you know, give that some thought. Is that something I need to be doing? So anyway, I guess that's all I have. I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Diana H. Kelly H., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kelly H. I'm a compulsive overeater. May I be heard?
Yes, you can, Kelly. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I love this passage because this is something I don't relate to right now in my program, but something I do relate to is the clearer eyes that I have now as a result of being in this program. I'm so grateful that this is a kind of in the 12th step vein, you know, kind of a fruition of working all 12 steps. Because if I had to be burdened with this on step 1 and 2 and 3, et cetera, I think it would have made me leave. So there's a tremendous mercy to getting through the steps and realizing that if I spot desperation, I still got desperation. If I spot it, I got it. But now I have the skills that I could actually and clear eyes to see that which I can address. Before, I might be tempted to enable, but by the time I go through the steps, I have the skills of discernment. But I'm kind of dancing on the head of a pin there, because in saying the set aside prayer, I know that I know nothing. And I seek to have a humble morning and a whole day. So I have to be careful not to label something. But I also, in humility, have to accept the strength of working a solid program, that I can spot desperation. I could spot when I might be enabling, whereas I would not have had that clarity at the beginning of my journey. So I'm grateful that this is not just a book for kindergartners, but this is a book for the grown-ups at the table. And not that I'm even trying to make it out that I'm better than the beginner, but I just... I'm just grateful for the experience I've had, but from it, I have the wealth, I guess, I could help and give somebody a proper hand up to the table right beside me. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. We have time for 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like to share?
Heidi L.
Heidi L.
Kathy Liz. B.
Kathy B. Who was after Kathy B?
Liz A.
Liz A. And I'll take one more.
Mindy L. S. from New Jersey.
Okay, Mindy L. S. Thank you. Okay, Heidi L., please share with us.
My name is Heidi L. I'm recovering compulsive overeater. I just never share on these meetings, and I listen in and sit on the sidelines, so I'm trying to be different. And this meeting hit me because of my codependency, so not so much helping other compulsive overeaters in that way, but I have a friend right now who is a big time caregiver. And anyway, my codependency activates my overeating. Like, I want to take care of you, but then I want to eat at you because I'm mad and tired. So the whole martyr thing and the stress of other people around me, me feeling stressed about their stress and not being able to detach in a healthy way to where I can just take care of me. And so I'm not acting on these things right now. I'm noticing them and trying to work recovery around them, but it definitely affects me wanting to eat. And I didn't really look at it as that before. It was like, take care of others was a spiritual principle I learned with, and it's a way of my heart, and those things can be true on one hand, and then it can go into my disease on the other hand when it becomes something I'm giving that I don't have, whether it be time or money or resources. So I like how it said, take care of your family first. And I think of, you know, in the airlines, you put on your oxygen mask first and then help other people. So right now I'm in a tender way of needing to claim my own recovery in a tight way and really focus on that and leave the rest to God. So that's all. I just wanted to check in. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, Heidi L. Kathy B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kathy B., compulsive overeater. Good morning. Thank you for sharing. In this program, I haven't helped anyone. I mean, as far as being a sponsor, I'm not ready yet. I do share meetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Kathy.
I share meetings, which a lot of people don't do. Some meetings, like the chairperson is like begging people to share, like practically. And this is the way you work the program. You know, even if you don't say the right thing, you hear yourself and you can figure things out, and you're being a part of, and you're putting your two cents in. And, you know, I've helped other people in other programs, and I've, you know, taken somebody in, I've taken family members in. But, you know, most of the time it doesn't work out. You know, they overstep their welcome. And I know my sister, who's, you know, a drug addict, and she wants to live with me. And I blocked their number because I did have her live with me before. I had to wind up throwing her out, and I'm not going through that again. She's going to have to find, you know, some way to help herself. And I've seen what my mother went through, you know, by enabling people. And, you know, they're not going to do it to me because I'm the oldest girl. I helped my one brother. He passed away from drugs, you know, like. But as far as OA, I have a great sponsor. You know, I don't call her whenever I feel like it. We usually, you know, text, or we set up a time when we're going to talk, because I don't like to impose on people like that. So it's really working out good, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy B. Liz A., please share with us.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Michigan, and I get nervous on this line. I am recovering from bulimia, anorexia, compulsive overeating, and there's a lot I could say about this particular paragraph. I have been on both sides of that. I had to move in with someone from OA, and you know, I wasn't the greatest roommate, and she at some point asked me to leave, and that was very painful, but I had been so crippled by this disease and addiction that it was messy. I was messy, and thank God people helped me. And, you know, the truth is sometimes maybe they enabled me, and I wasn't yet ready to stand on my own two feet, but this program, it says that we shouldn't be overly dependent on anyone. And so I just kept coming back until I could get healthier and healthier. And then at some point, a friend of ours, a man, moved in with us for 10 months. And my husband and I, required for him to go to meetings, get counseling, and that we were not his sponsors. And 10 months was too long. But you know what? He was able to reconcile with his wife, and, you know, that's miraculous, really. And God used us. And so maybe we were used in an unhealthy way, but this is not perfect. This is messy. Helping people and people helping me is not always perfect. And, you know, that's the beauty of the program. It's progress, not perfection. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie. And let's see, Mindy L.S., you'll be our last share today. Please unmute, Mindy.
Mindy. It's,
yes.
Cindy C.
Oh, sorry. It's Cindy. Cindy C.?
Cindy with a C, L.S.
L.S., okay. Got it. Thank you, Cindy. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, no worries. This is Cindy L.S., compulsive eater, critical level food addict. I just wanted to claim my seat. I usually do a lot of listening, and also to share that the question about enabling, I think I used to think I had a sign that said, you know, here I am, a free enabler. I did a lot of that, and
And yes, so I purposely focus on letting people stand on their own feet, but I pray for balance. But yes, sometimes I was enabled, and I've enabled others, and hopefully in program it all kind of works out, but I have to watch out that I don't enable others as a means of not doing what I need to do in my recovery. So, so I let higher power be my guide. I used to see myself as a rescuer, you know, go out and find some compulsive eaters and fix them or help them and overgive and talk on the phone too long with them. And now I think God is, by God's grace, showing me some balance. So after 10 or 15 minutes on a conversation, I might suggest, okay, well, let's call other people, you know, build your network, because none of us stand on a pedestal. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Cindy L.S. You know what? We have time for one more share. Is there anyone who would like to share? Anybody want to share? Well, this is Kathy Kay. I'll take a minute or two. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful to be on the meeting today. As I was listening to everyone, the word that came to my mind was moderation, and it's a word that I was introduced to when I was doing step one and getting to know the nature of my disease and my spiritual malady. And a big part of it was that I was a person of extremes, very black and white in my thinking. And what this paragraph reminds us, in my view, is that it's not black and white how we help or who we help, but we do have discretion, and we do have our higher power who can guide us in decisions we make that will maintain our healthy boundaries and also give away what we have to offer. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone who was here today and who shared with us. We are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. So, Robin P., would you please read on page 164, A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.